Welcome back to Ecclesiastes. Today, we dig in. Chapter 1, verse 1. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Solomon wants to know, when it's all said and done, what do we have to show for it? What did we gain? My dad told me the story of when I was 8 years old. Late one night, I laid awake in bed, as always, thinking. I crawled out of bed and followed the light coming from my dad's office. I peeked in, spotted my dad, then climbed up in his lap and asked him, plain and simple, "Dad, why are we here?" I wasn't the first to ask, and I won't be the last. Now remember from our intro study that all of Ecclesiastes focuses on life under the sun. That is, heaven and hell are hypothetically out of the picture. Also remember that God enters the perspective here only as a distant creator, not as the personal savior and lover of my soul. Not that God is distant, but Solomon has drifted away, his eyes caught up with earthly things. And with that perspective, Solomon's answer to it all, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Now look again at the question in verse 3. What do people gain? That's a key word in all of this. In accounting, gain represents a return on investment. Life is a lot of work. So what do we gain from all our labors? Solomon is looking for something that truly lasts. After the question, Solomon steps back to see the big picture of life on our little planet. Beginning at verse 4, generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. Solomon observes the cycles of life on earth. Sunrise, sunset, and all over again. And the question remains, if everything keeps repeating, what is gained? Now a little side note here, hiding in these Bible verses is an accurate description of both wind circuits and the water cycle. They're not full scientific descriptions, of course, but they are accurate. Impressive for 1000 BC, considering that no other scientist identified such wind cycles until Columbus discovered trade winds in 1492. And later George Hadley and then Gustav Coriolis finally described the wind circuits in the 1800s. The water cycle is also described here. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. Again, not a full description, but accurate. And so are other water references in Job and Psalms. The water cycle was not understood until the late 1500s. So in 1000 BC, this is pretty impressive. Okay, back to Solomon's point here. Basically, you and I come and go, but the world keeps spinning, and the seasons keep coming back around. In verse 8, all things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. Interesting insight there. Just like the sea never fills up, our eyes and ears never seem to get their fill. It's sort of a metaphor for life, where nothing satisfies, and nothing is ever enough. One moment you have something, the next moment you want more. Verse 9, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. And there's that phrase again, under the sun. There's nothing new down here. Now you have to read this one philosophically rather than scientifically. Look, cell phones are new. Space flight is new. See? The point is not literal. It's an observation on life. Everyone chases the new thing. And suddenly, the new is old. I remember when email on my cell phone was the big new thing. What a time saver. That got old fast. In the end, the new gets old. The young add years. And life just keeps going through all its cycles. Sunrise, sunset. Verse 11. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. Death plays a prominent role in Solomon's thinking. Under the sun, we all die. And who will remember us? They'll die too. Oh, they can tell stories and read history books. But will they truly remember you? So on that happy note, Solomon decides to conduct a test. Verse 12. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. In chapter 2, he will explain, I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. So this is the test that will span the entire book of Ecclesiastes. It's like a massive high school science project for philosophy class. Imagine proposing this hypothesis to your teacher. Life is meaningless apart from God, and I intend to prove it, Professor Pickwick. Okay, then, how will you conduct your test? I will personally try out all of the things that people chase after in life, and I'll write a report on what's good. And Solomon does just that. He begins with his conclusion in verse 13. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. And then the test procedure begins. Now this will come in three parts. Only the first is here in chapter 1. Solomon will test out the big three, living for wisdom, living for pleasure, and living for success and stuff. Wisdom, pleasure, stuff. Intellectualism, hedonism, and materialism. Which one will satisfy? First test, wisdom. Life is a college, so live to learn. Solomon tries it in verse 16. I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. Strike one. Solomon dug in and came up empty. He'll come back to wisdom later for more insight. But here at the front is the executive summary. And Solomon describes his pursuit of knowledge as chasing the wind. We'll find that phrase throughout the book. The wind can fill your sails for a moment, but when it's gone, it's gone. And the moment you close your fist to catch it, it slips right through your grasp. Nothing gained. Now, that's not to say that wisdom and knowledge are bad. They are essential to life. But the pursuit of knowledge for its own sake, as a means of fulfillment, will never satisfy. That is idolatry. Knowledge cannot replace God, though many have tried. Stephen Hawking, the famed scientist, wrote in his conclusion to A Brief History of Time of his desire to discover a complete theory, that one unified theory that brings all of science and philosophy together. Hawking said, if we find the answer to that, it would be the ultimate triumph of human reason, for then we would know the mind of God. Hawking was an atheist, by the way. He later explained that he used God in a figurative sense. But he was a man of science and reason, and his ultimate goal was to reason his way to answer everything. I get it. Human reason is amazing. But like most created things, it makes for a wonderful tool, but a terrible god. Solomon gave it a try, pursued knowledge for its own sake, and it was chasing the wind. In verse 18, for with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. Now remember that Ecclesiastes is an incomplete message. Apart from God, it's true. Wisdom and knowledge come up empty, and nothing is gained. But consider what Paul said in Philippians, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. When Jesus enters the picture of life under the sun, suddenly gain is possible. Jesus breaks the endless cycles of vanity and puts the eternal back into life. He overcame the meaninglessness of this world. And so Paul says, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. And he says, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Solomon, however, missed it. And so he moves on to the next big thing. Read Ecclesiastes 1, and we'll come back to test out pleasure and success next time.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.